Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Disruptive Business, celebrating those who change the game.
Welcome to Disruptive Business. This is your host, Stone Payton, and in the studio with me this morning is my good buddy and co-host Lee Cantor and Micah Porter. Good morning, gentlemen.
How are you, Stone?
I am doing well. Looking forward to this. Excited about tonight. You know what comes out tonight?
No.
Yes, you do. Ayn Rand's the second part.
Part two.
Of Atlas Shrugged. I am all over this thing. I am very excited. Are you not excited about it?
I haven't seen part one. I read the book in high school, but I have not.
And you bought me the Kindle book and sent it to me.
There you go.
Did you have some sort of subliminal message you were trying to send me?
I didn't say watch the movie.
I'm all over it, man. Now I'm involved in politics. I'm excited.
I can see that. Now, Michael, what about you? Where do you stand on the Ayn Rand?
I'm more of a Lord of the Rings kind of guy.
Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. Yeah. I read The Fountainhead and Atlas Shrugged too many years ago to remember.
Right. But those were the two I read as well.
Yep. Isn't it Ayn Rand?
Ayn?
Not in Marietta.
I think it's Ayn.
Not in Georgia.
In the original Russian, yes, I think.
Okay. Just wanted to chime in with that. I'll shut my mic back off now.
So, Micah, you invited a gentleman to visit us this morning to talk a little bit about his company. Tell us a little bit about this gentleman.
Sure. Well, in the studio today, we've got Stuart Bracken. Stuart's company is Bioscape. I say that it's Bioscape, but Stuart's actually got a number of companies he's invested in. Bioscape is working on imaging technology to allow patients to gain a better understanding of their diagnoses. It's an interesting technology because of everything that's going on in medicine today, and it's a good way to really lower the cost of delivering care. And I don't want to give away too much because Stuart will get into it just a little bit later.
All right. Well, welcome, Stuart.
Hey, how's it going today, guys?
Doing well. You want to share a little bit about Bioscape, a little maybe the history, how it got started, and how you got to where you are today?
Yeah, yeah. First, let me say I sure hope that the movie tonight is shorter than the book.
Well, the book's a workout, that's for sure.
Sure. So Bioscape is a healthcare technology company that we founded about a year ago. It's really positioned to fundamentally disrupt the patient education paradigm.
And what is it? What's the patient education paradigm right now?
So if you think about your experience going to a doctor, at least I know I've experienced this a lot of times, you end up having a conversation with the doctor, and it's about a new topic that generally you don't really know a lot about unless you're an MD.
Right.
And what happens is you get that glazed over eye effect.
Right.
And so what Bioscape is trying to do is create a platform that really bridges that conversational chasm. So it enables a patient to understand really what the doctor's trying to communicate.
So it's like subtitles as he's talking underneath. It's really explaining what he's really saying.
Yeah, it really goes back to that old metaphor about hearing, seeing, doing.
Right.
And what we think is that we can help visualize this type of content. We can help a patient better understand what's going on with his or her body.
So how does it work in real life? Like I'm going to the doctor. I'm sick. I don't. You know, they diagnosed me as what would be an example of a
Yeah. So I think a real good example is might as well use a real life example we're doing today. So at Emory University, if you have a heart issue and you show up into into one of their cardiologist office,
right?
Perhaps you have a blockage in one of your hearts. So generally,
one of my hearts, I have.
they deal with some specialized patients there at Emory.
A few cows.
Okay, my left heart has a blockage.
Your left ventricle in your one heart has a blockage. And so what happens is what used to happen is a doctor would tell you about this and maybe even pull out a piece of paper and draw some sort of third grade sketch on the top
of a heart.
Right. And would tell you that they're going to put something into your heart and try to fix it. And really it's hard for the average patient to understand what's going on.
Right, because I'm freaking out because my heart's kind of important to me.
Well, actually, you know what a lot of times happens is you aren't freaking out.
I'm not.
You don't necessarily get the ramification.
Get it. You don't understand.
You're in shock at that point.
Oh, so I'm not even really paying attention. I'm just hearing heart and zoning out.
You sort of locked up occasionally, you know?
Uh-huh. So then now where do you guys come into play?
And so what we do is we use tablets in that situation to sort of say, this is your heart.
So the doctor whips out a tablet or they hand it to me?
So the doctor's holding a tablet,
okay.
And within that tablet, there's a diagram of a heart.
Like a real heart.
Of a real heart,
right.
And it's basically a 3D interactive diagram. So take Minority Report or whatever sort of type.
So he's like waving his hands in front of something?
I mean, it really is not that far off from that. And you take that experience, and then the doctor uses that to explain the fact that your artery is clogged. And with that, there's a lot of risks. Now,
right. Because now I can see exactly what he means. Like, it's not a theoretical. I can visualize and see what that blockage looks like and then what the repercussion of keeping it blocked is.
Yeah, absolutely. And now what happens is you usually leave that doctor and you go home and your wife or significant other ask what's going on. And you say, I have no clue.
Right.
You
say, heart. One blockage. Right.
Typically, I find that guys are really good at communicating things to their significant others. So.
Exactly. One of my hearts, as I like to say, is not functioning right. My ticker is broken.
I have a broken heart. So then now, does this now, am I able to email this to my wife to tell her what's going on?
Well, exactly. So the doctor takes what he showed you and customizes it for you.
Right.
And
sends for my it to specific you. Situation.
Mm-hmm. And then you get home and you're able to review that with your inner circle. So your wife, your kids, whomever may be important to you can review and understand a little bit what's going on with you specifically.
Wow.
And so really what it does is it takes the doctor out of that typical 8x8 exam room and enables the doctor to go home with you.
Right, and it kind of extends that 6 minutes he spends with me to as much time as I need.
Absolutely.
So it helps explaining the situation to others that are important to you, and it helps you understand. Does that help increase compliance, you know, if there's certain things you've got to change?
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the big things that we're all trying to get our hands around are the new healthcare regulations, and with that are compliance and readmission issues. And what you see is an engaged patient who understands what's going on with their his or her health is more likely to comply to the doctor's orders.
So when so I have this information now, and I guess that's for if he's saying I need to have surgery, I can understand it. But it also kind of goes beyond that, where as part of my recovery, it can kind of coach me through the best recovery as well?
Yes, absolutely. One of the things that you need to think about having a surgery is what are you going to do after that and what are you going to do before the surgery?
Right.
A lot of times, unfortunately, hospitals get ready to have a surgery and the patient comes in and didn't follow instructions prior to the surgery. And that can end up costing thousands of dollars because the patient can't have a surgery. Let's say if you eat and you should not have had any food prior to the surgery.
Oh, so like if they say fast, like from midnight, mm-hmm. and you're like, well, I had breakfast just a little, and then
yeah.
So then that delays the surgery a day, and then they've already prepped things and there's already expenses.
Then. Exactly. And then on the back end of it, it's the same type of situation where if you're not taking your medicine, you're not doing the things that you need to do to recover, then you could end up right back where you started.
Sure medicine, taking medicine regularly is a huge issue. And could you possibly get involved in that aspect of it?
Well, I mean, if you think about sort of the daily reminders that you have for activities.
Right.
As much as people want to say that if I am forced to do something, that will help. But the truth is that doesn't really help. What you really need to do is understand why you need to do something. If you understand the why, then you're much more likely to follow a protocol. And so that's really what we try to stress.
And there are a lot of folks out there that are much more visual thinkers than they are, you know, sort of textual thinkers, if you will.
Yeah, and especially when you're talking about something that you can't see. You know, none of us has ever seen it. I hope we haven't seen it inside our own bodies. But, you know, it's just a really good way to understand what's going on.
So this technology would be extremely advantageous to providers that are being forced to shift from a paper service model to a paper outcome model, potentially.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's it's sort of the ball game that we're definitely going to be playing in.
Okay. All right. So do I download this software from the App Store? I mean, how are you delivering it?
Yeah, and so one of the real critical things we believe is that it needs to be customized. The App Store is great to send the same, essentially, application to a million people. But in order to make it really effective, you need to customize it to the doctor, to the patient, to the situation. And so it's really more of a ask your local provider if they have this software service.
Now, are the doctors embracing this, or is this just another thing they got to learn that they're not comfortable with?
You know, going into it, I was told over and over again, you can't teach an old doctor new tricks. But
right. The
reality is that's not the truth. Doctors are really frustrated is the easiest way I can describe it. They see patients come in time and time again for the same issues, yet the patients don't necessarily change any of their behaviors.
Right.
So doctors are looking for ways to make their life easier. And from what we've seen so far, Bioscape is definitely a way to do that.
And what stage are you at right now? Are you piloting this right now, or you already have this out there in the market?
Yeah, so we have a few pilots that we're real excited about. Obviously, in Atlanta, one of the best partners you can have is Emory Healthcare. And
and you're only saying that because you went to Emory?
Absolutely. I funded their position.
So Emory, the hospital's using it?
Yeah.
Or so some doctors?
We have a few different doctors within Emory Healthcare using the product, testing it out right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have a couple other locations, one being Duke University that we're talking to. I don't really like Duke because I went to Wake Forest. So, we'll see how that works out.
Not as well as Emory will.
Exactly. I'll make sure it'll be second tier.
Well, are there specific specialties for which this technology is particularly applicable?
Yeah, so there are definitely specialties that lend itself to this type of content. Right now, we're focusing on cardiology, obviously being a huge topic, and then urology actually as well. Urology is one that makes a real interesting topic to us for a lot of different reasons.
And what are those reasons?
First of all, the stigma around it is something that a lot of people don't want to talk about, and that makes it something that people don't know how to communicate topics around urology. And so what we try to do is enable the communication of those topics.
But are those two tend to be more male driven?
Both. More actually a combination of both. You know, if we're talking about female urology, it's a really interesting topic. I'm not going to go too deep into it, but essentially, if you think about complications after childbirth,
uh-huh.
it's a topic that actually one of the few disease states that happens naturally. You're doing something that's healthy and normal, and you end up in a disease state sometimes. Mm-hmm. And so it's a topic that has this stigma around it, but really it's an outcome of a healthy lifestyle. And so that's a topic we're trying to help people understand better.
I'm sure you're going to move into all different parts of healthcare, but why didn't you consider like kind of orthopedics, where there's kind of like a rehab element where you can really use tablets to help a person stay compliant, like for physical therapy and occupational therapy and things like that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a huge opportunity for us. There's definitely a list. I would say OBGYN is another one that we're really excited about.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, we just have to sort of pick our battles.
Right.
Well, it sounds like you know a good deal about the various specialties with which you're working.
Not really, but thank you.
You're welcome. We always try to compliment our guests on this show. How did you end up founding Bioscape? Because I know your background is somewhat varied. It didn't look like there was medicine in the background.
Yeah, exactly. I'm a technologist by trade. Been lucky enough to work with some really amazing mentors in technology space. And as a result of that, I spent about 2 years sort of advising startup companies and looking at different opportunities. And one of the spaces I ran into was this healthcare space. And a lot of the lessons learned in the financial services space for me and a few other areas I felt were applicable. And then if you talk about a need and a want and an opportunity, I don't know if it gets any bigger than healthcare.
Sure. And if you, what is it, 18% of our GDP spent on healthcare?
Yeah.
That's a sizable amount of change.
Only rising. And the interesting thing for me is I'm able to say, if you can't explain it to me, then you're not going to be able to explain it to the average patient. A lot of times you have a doctor trying to create a product, and the doctor knows what doctors know, whereas I'm a little bit more of a layman. So I'm sort of the baseline test in a lot of this.
And I take it you've got doctors that work closely with Bioscape in terms of coming up with the graphics and the information on the various specialties?
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the interesting things is each doctor has his or her own unique take on a topic. There is medicine that's sort of black and white, but the majority of it is a little bit of a gray area. And so what we're trying to do is also create a platform that's flexible enough that allows for a doctor to incorporate his or her opinion into the platform.
So assume that I am, Bob, a urologist, and I'm interested in rolling out this platform in my practice. What does that process look like?
Really, it's nothing more than a conversation, and it's to ask, what do you want to accomplish? And from there, we try to figure out what's the best way to accomplish that. You know, there's an opportunity to use tablets. There's an opportunity to use basic computer screens. There's an opportunity to use interactive touch screens. Whatever the medium is, we can figure that out. The important thing is figuring out what do you want to accomplish with it.
And when you talk to doctors or physicians groups, can you talk to them about return on investment?
Yeah, absolutely, especially if you think about the change in regulations and readmission. So coming up real shortly, if you are readmitted for a surgery, let's say, and you don't follow the protocol after the surgery, and they have to go back in and fix it, then that hospital is not going to be compensated for that second surgery. So that's a huge cost to hospital networks. I'm going to say it's estimated it's going to be $17 billion annually next year.
For lost on readmissions that aren't compensated? Wow.
That hospitals just have to basically swallow.
So is that the biggest way that the healthcare reform is impacting your business? Because if they change that rule, that would impact your business, wouldn't it?
It is. I mean, there are definitely a lot of other benefits, but that's just an easily quantifiable benefit because it used to be there and now it's not going to be there for hospitals.
And aren't hospitals acquiring more doctors?
Yeah, there's definitely a trend in consolidation that's going to be interesting. You're not seeing nearly as many sort of solo practices anymore.
Right. So then this device or this concept works best in the hospital environment? Or it would work for also a kind of a private practice doctor as well?
I think probably both. I think what you'll see is hospitals adopting content like this and offering it to doctors as an incentive to join our network.
So it's included. Mm-hmm. They get that as part of a reason to join the mm-hmm. network.
What used to be the big benefit with EMRs, right? So it used to be, hey, come join our network and you don't have to do any more paperwork.
Right.
You can do everything electronically. And that's sort of becoming ubiquitous now.
Right.
So
the tablet technologies really helped your business, I would think, because that makes it more accessible for the doctor and the patient to interact.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Tablets are a unique animal, no doubt.
So now, do you have to constantly be upgrading as the tablets evolve?
You know,
or is the technology kind of the technology and it's fairly easy to adapt to the newer tablets?
Yeah, the technology is really platform agnostic, meaning that it can go anywhere that you can imagine it to go.
Right.
One of the real lessons I've learned in my life is that you never know what the form factor is going to look like next year. You know, coming from a mobile background, you saw the adoption of phones change from big clunky Zach Morris phones down to little small phones back to
right big
larger
clunky
screens.
Big screen.
So you're not betting on Betamax then?
No, sir.
And the Apple or the Android platform, you're both, doesn't matter?
I have an opinion, but it does not matter.
So your focus then really is the graphics and being able to display from the platform on which it's displayed doesn't matter to you at all. Mm-hmm. So when you begin to go into development for a particular specialty, how long does it typically take you to roll something out like that?
You know, one of the things that I'm really focused on is creating a product that enables a doctor and enables a patient. My nightmare, I wake up sort of with sweats thinking about our product being in somebody's doctor's office and not getting used. And so the longest part of our cycle is the user interface experience, meaning I go sit and I watch doctors use this with patients. And if a doctor doesn't want to use it, then there's something wrong with our platform. So that's about a 12-month cycle to
okay.
really make sure that the content is something that doctors want and patients understand.
So you actually do observe the doctors using the technology and then tweak it as you move through the process.
Yeah, I think that's critical. All too often, people create a product without understanding what the consumer experience is going to be.
So now, any feedback from the consumers? Like, what are the things they like about it? What are the things they don't like?
You know, generally speaking, consumers are blown away with our product. It's been the really surprising sort of the feedback we've received. For the most part, one of the things that my guys, my team is really good at is taking really scientific medical data and sort of making it understandable for the average mm-hmm. person. And that takes a little bit of art. That's not really just a pure physical skill set. That takes an artist.
So you're not pulling a copy of Grey's Anatomy off the shelf and saying make it 3D.
Exactly. There are solutions like that, and I look at that and I'm just overwhelmed. And so what we're doing is pulling that copy of Grey's Anatomy, looking at it, understanding what's relevant, what's not, and how to best visualize that for a patient.
Now, does it take the patient feedback and constantly update the content to make it even more and more kind of user friendly?
Oh, yeah. I think this is, that's another great thing about healthcare, right? It's always evolving, and it's got to be the biggest library that's out there. And so.
And it's in Latin, a lot of it, right?
So you'll translate from the Latin and the software, I assume.
Latin into Italian.
Right. They have a Rosetta Stone Latin
Excellent.
That comes along with that.
Excellent.
Right.
And so it's just it's going to be a never-ending pile of content for us. This is going to be a long-term process, no doubt about it.
And so you have, you said urology and cardiology right now. What's up next in the pipeline?
I think really we're going to stay focused on those for now. You mentioned one that obviously is pretty relevant. You know, if you think about the aging population and the hips and knees and all that kind of good stuff that
right.
goes out. And then if you think about the fact that each one of those joints is a little bit different and a little bit unique to each patient.
Right.
It lends itself to visualization really nicely. OBGYN is another really hot topic, I think. And I think the reality is what we want to prioritize is what adds a lot of value.
I want to go back to OBGYN for just a second. My wife just gave birth 10 weeks ago. And
you were able to mention that. That's good.
Yes. It was required when I left this morning. But I think technology like this would have been really interesting to understand exactly what was going on because the classes they put you through, the graphics just aren't, there's no CGI going on here. I mean, it doesn't really help a whole lot.
Absolutely. And if you think about a couple of the hospitals in Atlanta, not to name names, they're just, you know, they're factories for lack of a better term. And so I think it's all about experience right now. I mean, if you think about why you choose to go where you do to give birth, it really is about the experience. And so stuff like this is going to be a real differentiator.
Right.
So when you're selling this into the hospital, what is your biggest challenge?
I haven't faced any challenges so far.
So they just say, yes, I'm in. They send me a truckload of them.
They ask me how much, and they say yes. No. I think the reality is that there's a different level that you sell into. You need a first, for me, selling into the doctor level.
Right.
I want doctors to want to use our product. Again, my nightmare is to have a product that's not being used, and the way you do that is you go to the top of a hospital network, and you force feed it down into the doctors.
Do hospitals typically have like a chief technology officer or something like that?
Yes, they definitely do. And that's really, I think, the second step. I think the first step is if the doctors say yes, then you go to the chief technology officer and you explain why this is important. And we've been doing that. We know some of the chief technology officers here in Atlanta, and thankfully they're smart guys and they get it.
And then for you as a company, you mentioned that you're piloting right now. Are you also raising funds?
Yeah, so we are in the process of raising our first round of outside capital.
So you've self-funded all this?
Yeah, to date we've been lucky enough to self-fund with a few paid pilots and partners who get our vision and share it.
Do you have doctors involved in your team?
We do. We have an array of doctors, and doctors never fail to impress me. They are always the guys who I am just most impressed by when I go out there and meet them.
Because of their knowledge, because of the amount of work that they handle, what do you like about working with doctors?
Yeah, so it's a depth of knowledge in a topic, but then also there's a breadth of understanding that surprised me. I thought doctors would be so focused in on their subspecialty that they would not be able to see sort of the big picture, if you will. And so far, I've been surprised that that's not really been the case.
Excellent, excellent. So assume that I'm a patient, and I know that my doctor uses your technology. What should I know as a patient as far as what you're going to tell me, what I should be looking for, how I should use this?
Yeah, so, I mean, unfortunately, the 21st century has changed healthcare a bit, I would say. And what I mean by that is what used to be a personal relationship is no longer a personal relationship. And I don't mean that in a bad way, but the reality is it's a different world we live in, and doctors are going to be rushed. Doctors are undermanned, under-resourced, and the costs are going out of control. And so you really need to engage in your own healthcare. And so taking technology like this and using it and understanding what's important to your health, I think, is going to be really critical in the long run.
Is there a way to interact with the doctor through the software? Ask questions, point out areas on the
will it email him?
Yeah, absolutely it will. And we're going to make that more and more robust as time goes on.
So then I can text them at home. Hey, question.
Yeah, or no.
Or email.
Definitely not that. Definitely not your question, but most people would be able to do that.
Wow.
Well, that sounds great. Have you got any data that shows the impact at the patient level at this point, or is it still too early in the pilots?
So we're working on a couple formal, I guess you can say, studies that are going to be conducted by third parties that are independent, and that's really the data that is going to ground us to some actual scientific fact. But if you think about chronic diseases, for one, it's estimated that 50% of chronic diseases are preventable. And so just that stat alone sort of blows your mind as far as what can be done to change the sort of the balance of power in this ecosystem.
So 50% of chronic diseases are preventable.
Plus or minus. That may be a sort of a debate type answer, so don't check me on
that. No. We don't have any fact checkers after this show, thankfully.
And then when you say preventable, are you saying that they're like kind of lifestyle related?
Yeah, so if we talk about diabetes as one, the pre-diabetes phase is a phase where you've been identified as somebody who honestly is at risk to get diabetes.
And I notice you're looking at me when you say that.
You just happen to be sitting there, happenstance.
Right.
And so that could cost, going into diabetes can cost thousands of dollars a year. And if you can prevent that's a huge savings, not only monetarily, but also from a lifestyle point of view.
Right.
And then there are other things as well, you know, that lead to chronic diseases that are preventable.
Well, in rolling out this technology, as Lee mentioned earlier, tablets play a huge role. Where do you see tablets going in the future?
You know, I briefly touched on this, but the reality is, I look at a movie like Minority Report, and we are not that far away from stuff like that.
You know? We're going to have a holodeck at some point where you can turn your ventricle or...
Honestly, we already have that technology. We have the ability to have a 3D hologram heart where you could walk up and look around and walk around the heart. We have touchscreen wall TVs that are just as interactive as a tablet and that are 45 inches long. And I think technology like that is not as far away as we think.
Will that make your job harder? In other words, if you're moving from a 2D image to a 3D image, I imagine there's a lot more work that's put into the 3D image.
Yeah, and so thankfully, not really, because what we've done is we've done our homework and we've created a 3D image as the starting point. So if you think about a 3D image on a 2D screen, that 3D image does have stuff behind it. You just don't see it. And so with this new technology, all you're going to have to do is just then pull it out and you're going to be able to see the same level of detail.
Right, right.
Now, is this a proprietary platform or are you taking things, like what's the barrier to entry in this business?
Yeah, so this is our own platform that we're developing. And so there's going to be, the content is obviously controllable and also some of the technology is controllable.
But is WebMD out there doing something like this?
WebMD is a company that's looking to move forward, definitely, and there's several others that are good models for us to follow. But the reality is most companies out there are trying to adopt 1990s-style internet models to 2012 technology.
And when you say 1990s internet-style models, do you mean delivering content that's primarily text-based via broadband connection and people search using a browser? What do you mean?
Yeah, I mean, almost if you think about a PowerPoint presentation, that if you go to WebMD, you have text and you have one image, and that's wonderful and it's robust, but it's not something that people really get.
It's not as engaging as what you're offering.
Absolutely.
And then what makes your system proprietary? What is the secret sauce?
Well, if I told you that, I wouldn't be proprietary.
It's just the fact that you have these 3D images and that tablet-based...
So I'm lucky enough to have a great technology team behind me. And for the last 10 years or so, they've been working on content like this. And so they are really the leading edge of this type of technology. And what they've done historically is deliver this technology for the large pharmaceutical companies.
Uh-huh.
And what we're trying to do is step back and say, this is important. And we can deliver this to the consumer, to the patient, to really change the, not to sound cliche, but change the world.
But, take your heart example early on. Are you putting up there a 3D image of a heart, or are you putting up a 3D image of my heart?
It is a heart that can be customized to be your heart.
Based on images that were done, MRIs or something along those lines?
Mm-hmm. So blood pressure, heart rate, all those kinds of good things. We can customize the heart to look like
you.
So
it'll look like, and it'll show the areas of concern in my heart.
Mm-hmm. One of the topics I think might be sort of easy to understand or explain is cancer. Most cancers are completely different, and they all look differently. But what a lot of them have in common is their mass, right? And that mass has sort of size and location attributes.
Right.
And we can input that data into a 3D model. So then you're not looking at an X-ray saying, what is this? But rather, you're looking at a 3D model that's much more visually understandable.
Right, so I can
cancer.
See a lung, and then I can see a big chunk of cancer that's exactly where my cancer is.
Yeah, I hope not, but yeah.
Right.
Couldn't you almost behavior model that too if you wanted to at some point and say, and this is what's going to happen in 2 years if you don't quit smoking or quit eating so much cornbread or something?
Yeah, I think eventually where this will end up is this will end up sitting on top of all that big data. What you have is everybody in the world talking about big data, remote devices, and EMR in the healthcare space. But a lot of that information is not being utilized. There's no way to sort of translate that into understandable, actionable items. And so by visualizing it, that's exactly right, you can help sort of understand what's next.
So not only is there a great deal of imaging data that needs to go into this, but there's just a heck of a lot of medical data that you need to be able to compile to make this whole thing work.
Absolutely, and I think it is going to take somebody smarter than me to compile it, but what I'm going to offer to do is help visualize it.
And so do the doctors have to do a lot of work to customize that to my specific situation, or is this pretty easy for them?
Yeah, and that's one of the real lessons we've learned. Our goal is to never, ever increase a doctor's time he has to take or she has to take.
Right.
And so what's going to be critical is figuring out good ways to interface with that data. So instead of having the doctor have to customize it himself, then have the doctor already have it customized when he picks it up.
Right.
So someone in the back office can take care of that and hand it off to him as part of the chart or hand it off to her as part of the chart.
Yeah, so we can say Ms. Smith's appointment, select that, and they can pull in all the information from the chart.
And then it takes the chart and then it translates it into that 3D image?
That is definitely
where
we're going. That's the roadmap.
Good stuff.
That is Minority Report.
It really is, except minus the flying.
So now you said you're looking for funding. You're looking for, I guess, more pilot opportunities out there?
Yeah, absolutely. We are we're trying to take it one step at a time. We don't want to outgrow our sort of our resource base, but that's really why we're looking for the funding, is so that we can step out there and look at more pilots.
And then can you talk a little bit about that process? What's the challenges inherent in that?
It is a always a fun and always an interesting process. You never know who you're going to meet or where you're going to meet them. I think one of the interesting things for me is understanding the healthcare space as a whole. Being a little bit new to the healthcare space, it's a different group of people. It's a different skill set. It's a different vision. And what I've also learned is San Francisco, you think you need to go there, but the reality is even within Atlanta, there is by far enough people that are interested in accomplishing something that you can get it done.
Well, there's a lot of, aren't there a lot of biotech clusters at least sprouting up here in Atlanta?
Yeah, absolutely. And again, man, that Emory University place helps as well.
Man, that Emory.
I should get some money for name dropping.
For enrollment. So your time, isn't that, that's kind of a different business, getting funding than doing your actual business, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a, the business is 9 to 5 and then the funding's 5 to midnight.
Well, you look pretty well rested, to be honest with you.
Botox.
He's seen his heart in 3D. So.
Well, and Micah's, the importance.
Micah's frame of reference is having a 10-week-old. Right. So you got to factor that in.
So you're working with the ATDC you mentioned a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. There's some great resources down there.
And where else are you going for resources to help you get funded?
You know, I think the reality is it's all through the relationships that you've created, and I've been lucky enough to be a part of some great companies in Atlanta. And with those companies, I built great relationships.
And so, can you share a little bit about what that funding process like? You have kind of a new technology. You have to kind of educate the marketplace that they even have this kind of need, because they're not choosing your thing instead of something else. They're choosing your thing, you know, for a blank piece of paper.
Yeah, absolutely. I would have to say that. For anybody out there thinking about going to get funding, the critical thing is to have a consumer, have somebody wanting to use your product.
Right.
If you can't prove that, then the rest is needless. And so I would have to say that most investors are looking for reasons not to invest in a company.
Right.
And so if you can provide an easy out, then they're going to take that out. And so that's sort of the mindset you need to take, is what are the potential pitfalls of this investment, and how do I answer that question ahead of time?
And given your experience with other companies prior to this, do you tend to find that the first round of raise is the hardest? Is it the easy? How does that work?
I think it's I don't want to say it's luck, but it's definitely a there's a little bit of the roll of the dice that happens there. I think the reality is you need to find somebody who wants to champion the raise. Raising money from 10 different people at an equal amount is not really the most effective way to go, but rather to find somebody who wants to lead the investment is usually the most effective route.
And with all of this uncertainty that surrounds any sort of startup, how do you keep things certain at home? You know, when you're an entrepreneur, you don't have the paycheck.
Yeah, this is true. The net operating losses from the government really do help on occasion.
Okay. So you sell it as a tax write-off.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Very good. No,
it looks like we're losing, but we're really winning.
That's exactly right. I think you have to realize that it's going to take twice as long and cost twice as much to get anything accomplished. But if you're committed to the idea, then anything's really possible.
And how important was it to figure out a way to show that hockey stick graph in the
presentations? You can ask anybody that knows me. It may be my biggest skill set.
Really good with the hockey stick graphs.
I actually have used a model that was researched and propagated across the country that creates really nice hockey sticks.
He's the Wayne Gretzky of the hockey stick
very
graphs.
Nice. Very nice.
You guys don't know how true that is.
All right. So if somebody wants to learn more, website, what are the coordinates?
Yeah. So definitely come visit us. It's bioscapedigital.com. And then we're definitely going to be over at Venture Atlanta here in a few days, and I'm sure you guys are going to be there as well.
Yes, we will. And so you're looking for investors, number one. And so if hospitals are interested in this technology, they should contact you as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And the other thing is I think as a consumer, you're a patient. Bottom mm-hmm. line, you're a patient. And so if your doctor's not helping you understand what's going on with your body, then you need to ask why, and you need to try to get that information.
I should ask for, where's my Bioscape digital tablet?
Exactly.
Or I'm not going to you as a doctor.
Yes.
All right.
Good stuff.
This has been a joint production of Business Radio X and Minerva Planning Group, providing financial peace of mind. For more information, MinervaPlanningGroup.com. For Stone Payton and our host this morning, Lee Cantor and Micah Porter, our producer, Dana Barrett, and our guest, Stuart Bracken with Bioscape Digital, we'll see you next week on Disruptive Business.